The following is a special presentation of the Arizona Broadcasters Association and Cronkite News. Each year, opioid addiction wrecks the lives of thousands of Arizona families.
I think the hardest part about being in recovery is losing people, and we do a lot. Every week, we lose people. It's an epidemic, and we're at the front lines, and we see it every day. People relapsing, people going back to jail, people dying, talking to mothers and sisters and brothers who get to bury their loved ones.
11 days out of prison, my mom had found me dead. And my brother was in town getting married, and so my mother almost had to bury a son and marry a son in the same day. And that didn't keep me sober. Just the fact that I see people dying all around me does not keep me sober.
It was the last day of eighth grade, and it was just like a normal day. You know, I just got my pills and get high on them. And then I don't really remember much after that. I kind of just woke up the next day in the hospital with my family there. And they said I was very lucky to like still be alive.
I've seen a lot of death, yeah, in my former life. I've seen a lot of death. You know, I've seen people OD into bathtubs, sitting on the edge of the bathtub and hit themselves with a rig and just flatline into the bathtub. You know, so it's ugly. It's the truth.
The Arizona Broadcasters Association and Cronkite News present Hooked RX, From Prescription to Addiction. If you, a friend, or a loved one are affected by opioid addiction, trained counselors are available to talk now and after this program at 1-855-660-5600. Again, the toll-free number is 1-855-660-5600. James Scott is a Tucson police lieutenant.
We're killing more people by prescription drugs, and a large percentage of them prescription drugs are opioids, you know, that are prescribed by doctors. And we've also seen, and some studies have shown, that a large percentage of people that get addicted to these opioids, you know, prescription type opioids, often resort to heroin. Opioid and prescription drug type related deaths have increased every year for the last 5 years. So it's a growing problem. It's something that needs to be addressed, and it's getting worse every year.
The number of opioid-related deaths in Arizona has steadily increased, from 570 in 2013 to 701 deaths 2 years later. Gregory Hess is Pima County's chief medical examiner.
If we look at calendar year 2015, this office saw a total of 379 overdose deaths. Of those deaths, the primary drugs that were involved were heroin and morphine and oxycodone. I mean, they're so prevalent that we see overdoses almost every day. Opiate medications are dangerous, so, you know, people don't necessarily view them that way. It's like motor vehicles, or overdose deaths are more common than motor vehicle accident deaths. And so you get a prescription from a physician for an opiate for some kind of procedure or nagging pain, and just knowing that pill may be more dangerous than driving your motor vehicle, especially if you're taking it in combination with other drugs.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey.
This is an epidemic that isn't hidden. It's not somewhere far, far away. It's right in our own backyards, our own neighborhoods, our own schools. And it's something we're either going to address as leaders, parents, and policymakers, or we're going to see more kids die and more avoidable deaths in terms of our brothers and sisters and extended families.
Here is a picture of Zach with his two sisters. And of course, this picture, he was in middle school. And I think this is the start of his experimenting with marijuana. And then, of course, it never just stopped at marijuana.
Lisa Elsbecker's son, Zach, became addicted to heroin.
He suffered a significant stroke because he had an infection in his heart from using needles. We lost him in June, and I can recall them trying to get his heart to start again. And then I just remember sitting on the floor in the corner listening to them and listening to him die.
Jamie Dutton holds her mother's death certificate.
The night my mom died, as far as I know, she had taken a few 15 milligram oxycodones. I believe she mixed it with some Valium or diazepam, and she chewed a fentanyl patch.
Pima County Chief Medical Examiner Gregory Hess.
Heroin and opiate deaths are up across the United States, including here, and the total numbers are up. Those drugs are prevalent and they're common and they're inexpensive. So they've been, you know, prescribed more, you know, over the last maybe 20 years than they have prior to that time.
Brock Bevel runs the Blue Vase Drug and Alcohol Recovery Center in Sholo.
Pills are everywhere. Every medicine cabinet in the United States has pills. Every doctor prescribes pills because that's the mode. That's the means. So if I get injured, I'm coming into you. I'm coming as a doctor saying, hey, I'm injured. I need pills.
We are prescribing a lot more opiates than we ever used to before.
Dr. Dan Kwan treats emergency room patients at Maricopa Integrated Health System Hospital in Phoenix.
Opiates were thought to be fairly safe, so a lot of different practitioners were prescribing opiates for various pains. So as that trend continued on and on, you know, we were seeing more and more patients that had developed an addiction to opiates.
I was an active gymnast my whole life, and after a surgery that I had on my knee, I began taking OxyContin post-op, prescribed to me.
Marissa Rodriguez was 14 at the time.
And right away, what I experienced was a sense of relief, like I was somehow going to be okay. I never thought that I would be a drug addict, and I never wanted that for myself. You know, I wasn't proud, but I didn't think I had a choice.
You're listening to Hooked RX, From Prescription to Addiction. Counselors trained in opioid addiction are available to talk right now and after this program at 1-855-660-5600. Again, the toll-free number is 1-855-660-5600. Brian Parker and Jamie Dutton live in Tucson.
Before 2007, I had a wonderful life. I was a welder. I had been at my job approximately 9 years by then. You know, my kids were doing good. We were buying our own house.
I was starting a paramedic degree was what I wanted to do. I went to school for. And I ended up just deciding that I was going to stay at home with my kids, be a housewife. I was taking about 315 milligram oxycodones. Every day I woke up, I was sick. So before you even get out of bed, you know you're looking for your pill bottle. It's a vicious cycle.
It started after an accident, my motorcycle accident in 2007. And after all the surgeries and everything like that, I was actually prescribed pain meds for years. My mother-in-law had told us about her doctor. So that's why we went to him, because we knew we could get what we wanted.
The vast majority of doctors in Arizona are doing the right thing.
Steve Duplessis prosecutes medical fraud and abuse for the Arizona Attorney General's office.
It's those unscrupulous doctors that are cutting corners, putting profits before patients that are harming our Arizona communities through these opioid drugs.
In a videotaped interrogation, investigators questioned a man suspected of peddling prescription drugs for Phoenix doctor Edward Sage.
He gave me a lot of pills and whatever I wanted, and then he told me what I could get for him. That's where it started. I had him, and he had me because he just gave me these pills, and I was hooked, you know, I started using heroin.
What resulted in that case was a 277-count indictment against Dr. Sage and approximately 10 other individuals that were involved in a massive billing fraud and massive prescription drug ring.
Dr. Sage was convicted in 2015 and sentenced to 4 years in state prison. Doug Coleman is special agent in charge of the Drug Enforcement Administration Phoenix office.
These are incredibly, incredibly powerful drugs. And we've given doctors the ability to prescribe these in this country. And the ones that go rogue wreak havoc on the country. Don't get me wrong. These drugs have very legitimate needs in our society. I think the problem is that if you're consuming 99% of the world's hydrocodone and 78% of the world's oxycodone, I think that's an overprescribing problem. I think that's an overuse problem.
In 2015, Arizona ranked third in the nation for the amount of oxycodone distributed to retailers.
So right now we're going to our drug storage warehouse facility where we hold all these drugs before they get disposed of. So you'll see an idea of the volume of prescription drugs that we have in this country. 280 million prescriptions a year, roughly, are written in the United States. And that's a prescription. That could be 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 tablets. So you're talking about billions of these pills out there. Each and every single one of us caused the problem. We provided the demand for these prescription drugs. Doctors, pharmaceutical companies, the government, everybody else met the demand that the citizens of the United States wanted. We demanded these things. And now, after all this time, we're facing this huge epidemic.
What it looked like for me was overdosing in the college dorm room and being asked to leave Colorado State. I don't want that to be my story at ASU.
Marissa Rodriguez, a former gymnast, is now a student at Arizona State University.
I knew once I took Oxy, I was okay. And it didn't feel wrong because it was prescribed to me and it was for a legitimate reason. Taking OxyContin at 14 quickly led to every other opiate. Being sober and staying sober wouldn't be such an amazing celebration if we didn't realize that the other alternative is death.
The life of addiction, you lose everything. I went from being a pretty good student, pretty good person to, you know, doing what I had to do to get my pills, whatever that may be, selling drugs, stealing from people, robbing people, whatever it was, I would do it. I never thought I'd see a day sober, let alone a year.
J.D. Branson works on motorcycles. He turned to the Blue Vase Recovery Center in Sholo for help.
This last relapse, I thought it was it. I was either going to go back to prison for the rest of my life or I was going to die. I started having medical problems. You know, I had a knee operated on and I got, you know, naturally prescribed. And then from there, I started buying them on the street, anywhere I could get them. I lost everything. I lost myself. I missed my first daughter's first words. I missed her crawling. I missed her walking. I missed everything. If I hadn't started with pills and I hadn't experienced that euphoria for the first time, I don't think I would have progressed as quickly as I did to harder stuff.
Right here at this light that we're coming up to, it's probably one of the biggest places for pills, heroin.
Brock Bevel runs the Blue Vase Recovery Center in Sholo.
I worked for the Mesa Police Department for 7 years. I was working narcotics and I was run over on duty. At that point in time, I was prescribed medication, opiates, and they were prescribing me 2-3 months at a time. And then so in the meantime, I could go from one doctor to the next, and I had 6 months of pills. I kind of came to a day where I was out of medication, and I was probably out of medication 5-6 hours, and I thought I was gonna die.
It would fight me harder, so I finally surrendered to it, and it took me over.
Okay, good. So I understand why people don't want to get clean. But the reason we're in those addictions is because we see nothing else.
They're always chasing the first high that they ever got, because the first high is the best high they're ever going to have.
Doug Coleman of the DEA.
So they're always trying to find a more powerful drug, the ability to take more of that drug. They're always trying to get that first high, and they're never going to reach it.
You're listening to Hooked RX, From Prescription to Addiction. Counselors trained in opioid addiction are available to talk right now and after this program at 1-855-660-5600. Again, the toll-free number is 1-855-660-5600. Nicholas DeLucia is in recovery in Prescott.
Before I turned 13, around when I turned 13, I started taking like Percocets and Xanax, and then that like took off right away. And then eventually just all that turned into like heroin use and meth use once I was just about 14. It took away like my whole teenage life because eventually got to a point where I was getting locked up in juvie over and over again. And like, I'd go in and I'd get out and I'd be doing the same thing, and I'd go right back in.
Emily Shy lives in Glendale.
I was actually a horse wrangler at Ponderosa Stables, which is in South Phoenix. And, you know, I'd had a back spasm. And I was bending over to pick something up after, like, the day before I'd unloaded, like, 10 bales of hay by myself. And when I went to see my doctor, they did the MRI and all this stuff, and it turns out that two of my vertebrae are bulging. And she, right off the bat, wrote me a prescription for 180 Percocets and 180 Somas just for 1 month. You know, you get handed two scripts for 90 Percocets apiece. It's really, I don't know, it's kind of hard not to get hooked on them.
Kara Green is an emergency room doctor at Maricopa Integrated Health System Hospital in Phoenix.
People receive a prescription of opioids from their doctor for oftentimes an acute condition. And they realize that it treats their pain, but it also makes them feel very good. As you use opioids, your body gets used to it. So then they need more of that drug.
Emily Shy.
People need to be careful about what they're taking. And a lot of people that I know that are in these programs that I am in thought it was okay, it was prescribed by a doctor. You know, just like me, I was prescribed by a doctor. It must be fine. The pill bottle says 1 to 2 every 4 to 6 hours. Okay, so I'm going to take 2 every 4. I'm going to push those limits because I like the way that it makes me feel. It doesn't just take away the pain. It makes just your whole life seem like it's amazing.
The number of people rushed to emergency rooms in Arizona for opioid-related overdoses jumped from 7,700 in 2009 to 15,800 in 2015, a twofold increase. Dr. Kara Green.
Unfortunately, in the past few years, we have had an increase in opioid overdoses and has been obvious. And we've noticed that in the emergency department, that there's a lot more patients that we're treating. It is no longer an inner city versus suburban problem. It's everybody's problem. I've worked in multiple different emergency departments, from inner city to suburban to rural, and everyone has this problem. It does not discriminate against gender, age, income. This has hit everyone.
Horse wrangler Emily Shy.
My daughter, her name is Chloe. She is just the happiest, smartest kid that I've ever seen. When I had gotten pregnant with her, I was actually, you know, still using. And luckily, it didn't affect her.
Phoenix neonatologist Nathan Lepp treats babies born to mothers who are on drugs.
Neonatal abstinence syndrome is something we see in infants who have been exposed to mothers taking narcotics. I think what a lot of people sometimes don't realize is everything you do to yourself, you're doing to your infant as well, whether that be drugs, whether that be your nutrition, you know, all those things affect what you're doing for your infant.
Tara Spillman holds her newborn son in the neonatal unit of the Maricopa Integrated Health System Hospital in Phoenix.
6 months ago, I was incarcerated. So I ended up having my baby here at the hospital while I was incarcerated. And I was put on methadone when I went into the Estrella jail. And they put me on methadone at 3 months pregnant. If I would have known that years and years later, I would have had, you know, this happen. And I'm so lucky to have him, but I'm not happy about him paying for my mistakes.
Doug Coleman of the DEA.
There's huge pressure from pharmaceutical companies and patients for doctors to write these prescriptions. We demand that they give us these pills. And so these doctors are going to succumb to that pressure. Doctors are businessmen. They have to make a living doing this. And so they don't want to lose customers.
In December 2014, Tucson anesthesiologist Robert C. Osborne was charged with 21 counts of unlawfully distributing a controlled substance, 5,600 oxycodone pills to two patients over a four-year span. Jamie Dutton.
I've never met Dr. Osborne personally myself. My mother went through him for about a year before she died. He knew she was using other drugs, street drugs. He was warning her, telling her that he wouldn't give her any medication next time if she tested positive again. But, I mean, he would still increase it. He just kept giving it to her.
Brock Bevel of Blue Vase Recovery in Sholo.
There's a need for prescription medication, and we get that. The problem is where does that end? Where does that need change to a want?
Doug Coleman.
If you have one doctor who goes sideways and he's writing 30 or 40 opiate-based prescriptions per day for people, he's doing tremendous damage.
Another doctor, Albert Ye, agreed in 2011 to serve 2 years in prison and pay $2.7 million for a prescription drug and money laundering scam. Steve Duplessis with the Arizona Attorney General's Office.
Dr. Albert Ye, who practiced medicine in Nevada, would come to Arizona, specifically in Mojave County, for 1 day a week. During that 1 day a week period of time, 7 hour span, he would see hundreds of patients. And it quickly became apparent that what was going on was massive prescriptions being written and put into our Arizona community.
Governor Doug Ducey.
I mean, these are our kids. These are our neighbors. There are consequences for this, and it is heartbreaking when you meet the families and the parents or attend the funerals.
After her son Zach died, Lisa Elsbecker started a group named GRASP.
And the purpose of GRASP is for parents who have lost their children to addiction. I remember after he passed away, my oldest daughter saying, not only did I lose my brother, I lost part of my parents because you'll never be the same again. And so my daughters were immensely affected by losing their brother. That's their only brother.
I've been to 11 rehabs. I've been to prison twice. I have lost countless amount of friends. I have lost my integrity. I've lost my self-worth. Most of all, I've lost the relationship with my family at some point where they stopped trusting me.
That's Brett Morrison. His dad, Tim, pages through a family photo album.
These are some of the pictures from 2001, Brett's senior year in high school. We had just become aware that there was a drug problem.
The day before our oldest son got married, Brett was the best man in the wedding. And Brett had overdosed that day, and Janice had to call 911, and people came out and resuscitated him. We just had like the best and the worst of days ever.
Janice Morrison is Brett's mother.
This is the photo that was taken at my oldest son's rehearsal the day before his wedding, and it was the day after Brett had overdosed. This is a disease. This is a horrific disease that needs to be treated, can be treated. Recovery does happen. And so I want there to be some hope. And I think in the long run, if you're able to survive it, you come out a stronger, more compassionate person.
Governor Ducey.
I think as a parent, you can always love your child, no matter what the situation is. And then to find the best help and professionals and experts in places where they can make the right decisions, where they can get the assistance they need.
Brock Bevel of Blue Vase Recovery in Sholo.
If an individual is willing to come here, they're at rock bottom because they have to give up 6 months of their life. They don't just get to continue with their jobs. They have to make a commitment. My goal is to replace their addiction with something bigger and better. They have to come in and say, I have an issue, I have a problem, I have to admit what I'm doing wrong, I have to submit. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of hope.
Dave Baker, Rex Chapman back here with you on the Texas Roadhouse Countdown, a tip-off show.
Former Phoenix Sun Rex Chapman missed 200 to 300 games over his 12-year career due to injuries.
I was 32, but my body was, I started getting hurt right away in the NBA, missed, I don't know, 200 or 300 games over my 12-year career. I was given painkillers, you know, you're given them after every surgery you have. I'd never taken them, ever, until my last surgery. I had an emergency appendectomy and never played anymore after that. I was gonna retire, you know, 10 more games. The season was gonna be over. And this doctor put me on OxyContin for an appendix surgery. I took the medicine, and I can pretty much say from the first time I took my first OxyContin, I was in love with it.
ER doctor Dan Kwan.
The first step, I think, is to educate medical practitioners like me and my colleagues to not prescribe opiates just for everything. We have to change our whole expectation, whether it's from the patient side to the practitioner side, that maybe you don't need opiates for every pain that you would have, and that's going to fix everything.
Tucson Police Lieutenant James Scott.
I think as a society, we need to make some changes. I mean, we need to make some very strong changes as far as prevention, education, and treatment. I mean, we can arrest these people all day long and put them in jail. That's not going to fix their problem.
ASU student Marissa Rodriguez.
It's going into suburban America. It's hitting kids younger and younger and younger. It's not getting the attention that it deserves. And it's not getting the attention that it so desperately needs to save lives.
Governor Doug Ducey.
To the doctors that are abusing these products or are part of these drug dealers that are trying to use the law or regulation to run cover for them, not only are we going to fix that, but we're going to find you as well.
The DEA's Doug Coleman.
We have to change the way that we demand medical care in this country. We have to change the fact that we want a pill for everything. And until we do that as a society, this problem's not going to change.
Lisa Elsbecker.
I wish I would have known more about prescription drugs. You have to learn how to live differently. And every single day, I have to learn how to live differently. Zach, he is everybody's son, everybody's grandson, everybody's nephew. If he were here, he'd tell me, Madre, it's okay, I got this. That's what he would always tell me. But he didn't, he doesn't. So I got this for him.
If you know someone in need of help with opioid addiction, 100 trained counselors are standing by right now to answer your questions at 1-855-660-5600. Again, the toll-free number is 1-855-660-5600. More information is available online at hookedrx.com. Hooked Rx, from prescription to addiction, was produced by Cronkite News, the news division of Arizona PBS at Arizona State University, and presented by the Arizona Broadcasters Association.